welcome to MNIT Talks. My name is Paul Harvey. I'm the editor of MNIT. And I'm here with Martin Fullard, the director of news and content at Davis Tanner and the Business of Events. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Hi, Paul.
Fantastic to have you here. Now, I've got you here because the Business of Events has just released its 2023 International Planner Sentiment Report, which illustrates the current thinking of event buyers in terms of priorities when selecting a destination or venue. Was there anything you were particularly surprised by about the report this year?
Surprise might be carrying a lot of work there, but I think it's interesting and perhaps predictable that sustainability is tracking much higher, well, I say much higher, 1.5 points higher across all regions than it was in 2022, although it perhaps has remained lower in the North American market. Evidence suggests that they are beginning to take it more seriously, but certainly in the UK and Europe, sustainability is even higher up the agenda as a priority point.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because so the report looks at three different regions, the UK, Europe and North America. And yeah, I spotted that sustainability is lower in the North American market. Is that just a kind of a cultural thing, do you think?
I think so. I mean, we'd be sort of talking only anecdotally, really, wouldn't we? But there's certainly, I think, culturally a far more mainstream attitude towards sustainability in the UK and Europe. It's not to say that our cousins across the Atlantic, you know, are giving it short shrift, not at all. There's certainly, you know, a big appetite for it, but I think purely because of the, you know, the size of the market, there may be, you know, 6 to 12 months behind Europe and the UK in terms of, you know, positive attitude towards it. So, you know, we're going in the right direction. You can't ask for much more than that. But certainly, you know, the UK and Europe, maybe it's very much more ingrained into the basics right now, I think.
And it is strange to look at the kind of the regional differences, because in the North American market, there's certain things that do have a higher importance placed on them. Safety and security being the main one, really. That's like ranks 10 out of 10 for importance among North American planners.
That one, again, is quite an interesting one. You know, I think the Americans market really has always, you know, across all its sectors, has always put a big emphasis on safety and security. You know, they spend a lot of money, you know, even in a public spending sense on security. And I'm not to say that, you know, in the UK and Europe we don't, but I think that perhaps we're quite diverse across, you know, when we talk about Europe. I think there's different attitudes towards it. I think maybe the way that security is either funded on a national scale across Europe is very different, certainly in the UK. Who is responsible? You know, we're talking about North America. It's a big market, but essentially following very similar laws, has very similar attitudes. The UK, across the EU27, we're talking about, you know, a whole range of different administrations who are responsible for security, some of which, you know, will be state funded, some of which will place greater emphasis through local authorities on and put that guidance on the venues or the organizers. So I think there's more of a collective understanding of basic security in the US. I think in the UK and Europe, we're a little bit more, who's in charge of that? Who's responsible for that? Is it on the venue? Is it on the organizer? It's a little bit more disparate, I think. That's my anecdotal observation.
And I was just thinking about safety and security. Obviously, we've got the Protect Duty legislation, Martin's Law, coming in. Do you think that will kind of up the importance in the UK?
I think it will certainly, you know, hone the conversation. I think, you know, there is already fairly clear guidance from local authorities through the Licensing Act that, you know, and perhaps doesn't get the same level as attention. And that is incredibly important in the UK. But I think security has always been maybe a difficult subject to get people excited about, if we can use that sort of maybe lowbrow terminology. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of complacency when we talk about security sometimes. I think we sort of take our security for granted. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, a massive issue necessarily across the UK or even Europe, but when we're going to an event, to a venue, we sort of assume that maybe, you know, the venue is in charge for ensuring that they have the right protocols and the right staffing in place. But at what point does the organizer enter that conversation to put their own spin on it, to insist on extra security, to include it in greater deal in their risk assessments. So Martin's Law will certainly shine a spotlight on that. If it goes through sort of as is, is currently being debated in the Commons, then again there will be extra considerations for both venues and planners to make. But hey, anything that raises the conversation stakes is going to be valuable, I think.
One other thing I was interested in, venue quality and quality of welcome are both seen as important, and significantly more important in North America. It just seems like they place a higher importance on those two features.
Yeah, I think that comes down to experience, doesn't it? And I think that, you know, find me an event organizer or planner who doesn't place a high degree of emphasis on the quality of experience. But I think that in the US, there's such a huge element placed on welcome and hospitality. You know, when anyone's paid to go to a restaurant and whatever else, you know, you get fabulous service, you really do. They yeah. really throw everything at you, and certainly that's true across some European markets as well, maybe not all. In the UK, we're very good at creating experiences, but you know, our hospitality industry at the moment is suffering a little bit. Lack of staff, lack of resource. We lost a lot of experienced people, and a lot of the younger people coming in maybe haven't learned perhaps from those more experienced people to execute the perfect delegate welcome. So I think in Europe, we've got a bit more work to do on that, despite what we tell ourselves. But in America, you've been, I've been, we know that when you arrive as a delegate, you really are treated quite well.
You absolutely are. It's again, it comes down to a slight kind of cultural difference. The different regions of the world are different places and all these things.
Well, it's a great thing for the memory, isn't it? I mean, this is the thing, you know, you want, if you're organizing an event in anywhere, you want your delegates to have a great time. It's not rocket science. And you're hiring the venue, you're hiring their staff, you really are putting a lot of stock on that. So if the venue wants the repeat business, they know that the stakes are high. They're going to have to really put that emphasis on first-class hospitality and a delegate welcome. I think it's a no-brainer.
Just coming back to the things that are tracking higher as well, across the board, I mean, we touched on sustainability, but skills and equity and diversity are both tracking higher.
Yeah, I don't think that should be too much of a surprise for us, really. I think that, you know, if we cast our minds back to 2019, before the dreaded P word struck us, this was a bit, you know, of a fringe subject. I don't hesitate to say, certainly when I was writing about it at my previous magazine, it was very difficult to find even expertise in this field. Certainly when it came to the matter of diversity, the pandemic certainly has given us the opportunity to really shine a microscope on these things. And we're now starting to see tangible differences in the workplace. Now, I'm sure if you speak to a whole range of different people, everyone will say that there's still a way to go. And I don't think there's no finish line here. It's about, you know, incremental cultural change and showing a little bit more sensitivity and understanding. We don't know what we don't know. I know that obviously no. might be pointing out the obvious, but there's greater stock being taken now of ourselves and our own companies. And we're asking ourselves, what do we need to do to be more culturally aware? And I think that that shouldn't be a surprise. And I think that now, particularly younger event managers are wanting to know from their venue partners and their suppliers that they have policies in place that are progressive as well. And I think that will only track higher as we move through the years.
It's similar to sustainability in a way, in that it's going to increasingly become a hygiene factor.
Yeah, I imagine so. That's a fair analogy.
So the report as a whole, was this the second time that it's been done?
It's certainly the second time that I've been around for it since I joined Davis Tanner back in November of last year. But I believe that the team have worked on similar reports in the past. Yeah. But yeah, certainly last year's one was really important, you know, in the face of a changing world. And I think, you know, don't forget, this time a year ago, we were still only sort of coming out of pandemic rules that only really finished in March 2022. So I think we forget. Yeah. I think we forget the timeframes. And there were many markets around the world who were still impacted by you know, COVID restrictions. So I expected that the report this year to show an advance in many areas. It sort of has done, and I think next year's will be even more interesting.
Just talking about the business of events in general, what have you guys got coming up?
Well, we're working with with International Trade Week at the moment, which is the initiative run annually by the Department for Business and Trade. So we look forward to having some interesting announcements to be made about that in the coming weeks. International Trade Week's going to be taking place in the week 6th to 10th of November. So we might have some interesting developments going around there, but there's certainly an interest from government to engage more with our industry. And I know that sounds a little bit perhaps cliche, but I think there really has been a shift in attitudes towards our sector. And I think incrementally, bit by bit, we are supplying them with information, with reports, with evidence. And of course, that's in partnership with UK Events and of course with Visit Britain as well, to build up a picture. And now we're starting to see, that sort of drip feed of interest sort of pick up more formally, I guess. And with regards to the All-Party Parliamentary Group for Events, there's been some really strong activity there as well. Theresa Villiers, who MP for Chipping Barnet and chair of the APPG, was in Belfast just after the meeting show. She was meeting the team over at Visit Belfast to discuss their national business event strategy. So that was proactively coming from her office too. So, we'd like to think that as a supporting, bridging voice and a source for information, that people are now beginning to understand much more of the context of our industry.
It's something that we've been doing as an industry ever since COVID hit. It's kind of been kind of like knocking on the door of government and engaging with them. And we're seeing that actually paying off then at the moment, is what you're saying.
We are. And there's again, there's no checkered flag here, and there's no sort of ultimate wants and needs. This is it, and that's what we stand by. It's very much a case of consistent dialogue. Now, the important differences are that, unlike other places around the world, we really have a strong civil service. We do. And ministers come and go. I mean, the tourism minister, who is our event industry's go to, I suppose, we are under their sponsorship. We've had what, 12, 13 of those in as many years,
Yeah, no, there's been a lot high
which is,
turnover there.
yeah, which is not ideal, but I suppose you have to look at them like they are managers. And the civil service working beneath them are in place for much longer. They are the consistencies within those teams. So building relationships with those guys is fundamentally important. And I can say, having been in on these conversations, that UK events really have sharpened the pencils somewhat now. And there's some fantastic conversations happening. There's some great work going on that we can't share too much about at the moment, but within the coming months, people are going to start to see something perhaps a little bit more tangible, let's say. But interesting developments, and the fact that the government are now sort of coming to us, they know who to come to asking for certain information, is encouraging.
Speaking about the government, obviously there'll be a general election coming up in the next year or so, certainly next year, it seems like. But from what you're saying, it seems like because we're talking to the civil service as well, they're not going to necessarily change when if there was a change of government at the next election. So it's not a massive change if we were to get a different government coming in.
Not necessarily. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't predict anything. Generally, most of the civil services, they stay in place. There's no real need. There's obviously always job changes, as there is in any organization. It's impossible to sort of speculate on what policy differences may or may not exist. We don't know when the next general election will be. It could be May if they want to get it back on that May routine. I suspect it will probably be December next year. That's my own personal feeling about it. And you don't know really what's going to happen. No prospective party is going to be promising the world in terms of spending and the whole the rest of it. But that's not something our industry is even asking for. Our industry isn't asking for any money. It's a simple case of recognition. It's a simple case of asking for more simple things, such as ministerial support for inbound events, for major shows, major conferences, having government departments which are relevant to key sectors of relevance of the UK being more actively involved. This industry, give it a pound and it will give the government £5 back. We just need any prospective government to know that, Conservative, Labour or other.
It's our job and your job to let them know that. So we'll carry on doing
I will certainly try for every grey
that.
hair.